We discussed Kamala Harris. Let's do so some more with a gentleman who has covered California politics for so very long. Not to date him too much here, but what should we know about Senator Kamala Harris, the latest Democrat to declare for her party's presidential nomination, certainly regarded as one of the tier one candidates initially. Live to San Francisco, Mark Baraback, national political correspondent, Los Angeles Times, LATimes.com. And Mark, from your experiences, what do you think we should know here in the East about the senator?
Well, okay, I'm going to start with a bit of public service journalism. Her name is pronounced Kamala, comma with a la at the end, Kamala Harris, and she'll be quick to point it out and correct folks who don't get that right, very sensitive to that. She is a product of San Francisco politics. I mean, it's interesting. San Francisco, for a small city, has a huge influence in California politics. Nancy Pelosi, the House Speaker, is from there. Our governor is from San Francisco. So is our senior senator. So she's very much a product of that culture, of that what I call close-quarter combat politics. It's a tough city, and if you can make it there, to quote the old song, you can make it at least statewide. She's the first Californian to run for president since Pete Wilson, our former governor, did in 1995. Actually, 96 cycle, didn't do too well. Before that, you have Jerry Brown, our just-retired governor, who ran in 1992. Kamala Harris is thoughtful. She's articulate. She's well-spoken. She is very ambitious, which I don't see as an insult necessarily. Birds fly, fish swim, politicians run for office. She's been eyeing the White House for a very long time. She started as political career at San Francisco District Attorney. She beat her old boss. She felt he wasn't doing a good job. He was, in fact, vulnerable. She took on his old her old boss, beat him, became the district attorney of San Francisco, served a couple terms, ran a very competitive, very close, won a very narrow victory for attorney general, served two terms, and then jumped into the Senate race, preempted the field in 2016 after Barbara Boxer, the long-term incumbent, stepped aside, ran. She's been there for 2 years, and now she's aiming for the White House.
Well, before I get to some of the obvious political questions, what does she like to deal with? You, the reporter, she, the senator.
I have a good relationship with her personally. I've known her since her days as district attorney. We would get together every now and then just to talk politics. You know, she's likable. She's engaging. She has a very delightful laugh. She's got a nice personality. She's a friendly person. She's comfortable around reporters without in any way, I don't want this to come across as any sort of endorsement, but personally, she's a very likable person.
Okay. And, except you got to get her name right. Okay.
That's right.
Bottom line, Joe Biden has been having to walk back, roll back, readjust some of his past law and order positions going back to the 1990s. And it is said that this is going to be her Achilles heel.
Well, it's an interesting thing, and I overlooked, a big part of her biography, obviously, is her heritage. She is African-American. She is Asian-American. Her father came from Jamaica. Her mother from India. A very unique combination, making her a pathbreaker in many ways. But you're right. Some see her as a prosecutor, as being too pro-law enforcement, if you will, not vigorous enough in standing up for minorities in particular, the Black Lives Matter movement, those sorts of things. She has seemed to preempt that. She calls herself a compassionate prosecutor. She's trying to sort of thread that needle and be just tough enough on law enforcement to not seem like she's coddling criminals, if you will, but also compassionate enough. So she's, it's a very narrow path she's trying to walk. But, that said, I think, the idea that you're going to present an African-American woman from San Francisco as some kind of right-wing conservative.
No.
Good luck making that case.
No, I understand. Okay. At the risk of only comparing her with her female competitors, as I want to do it more broadly against Bernie Sanders, if he announces and all the rest, but imagine this ring, Kirsten Gillibrand, Elizabeth Warren, Kamala Harris, and then, of course, on the side, an asterisk to many of us, Tulsi Gabbard, Hawaii. What do you think?
It's interesting. It's very early, and it's our inclination, as we're doing right now, to slot these people in categories. But I think if she has any main competition in this race, it's going to be Cory Booker, the African-American senator from New Jersey. It's going to be Beto O'Rourke, the former congressman from Texas, if he runs. I think Kamala Harris is putting herself out there as sort of the new face of the party, new generation of leadership, someone who reflects our changing demography. Again, I mentioned her heritage. I think that is the vote she's going to be going for. She's going to be going for the young, exciting, the Obama constituency, if you will, the people who are excited about change, about a changing face of America. And if there's anyone who's going to compete in that slot with her, I think it's most likely going to be, as I said, Cory Booker if he runs, and Beto O'Rourke if he runs.
Interesting threesome there. Yeah, Booker, O'Rourke, Harris certainly would create a stir, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, and it's, again, these things always get down. At the end of the day, there's going to be 20 or 30 or 15 or a whole lot of candidates. Democratic primaries inevitably come down to someone who's going to be seen as the quote-unquote establishment candidate, someone who's going to be seen as the insurgent and the fresh face. You know, last time it was pretty easy. There was only really two of them running. You had Hillary, you had Bernie. We've seen this dynamic, John Kerry versus Howard Dean. You could go back to Teddy Kennedy versus Jimmy Carter. We're going to see that. It's going to be a while. It's going to be more than a year or so, but eventually that's what it's going to shake down to, the establishment versus the insurgent. Kamala Harris is going to try to be that candidate of the insurgency.
For many Americans, their first introduction to Senator Harris was live TV, the Supreme Court confirmation hearings.
Yeah, she played the role of prosecutor. In fact, it's very interesting. Her campaign slogan is "For the People," which, of course, is what a district attorney or an attorney general will say when they stand up in court. It will be Kamala Harris for the people. That has become her slogan, and you're right. That sort of made her reputation with Democrats around the country, was that sort of prosecutorial inquisition, especially of Jeff Sessions, you'll recall, during his confirmation hearing. At one point, he said, "You're going so fast for me, you're making me nervous." That just thrilled a lot of Democrats.
What about California's other office holders? Have they been neutral or mildly supportive or endorsing or what?
Well, it's interesting you ask that, because you mentioned Joe Biden and I mentioned Dianne Feinstein, our senior U.S. senator, and she said not long ago, she said, "I like Kamala Harris, I respect her, but she's very new to this place. I like Joe Biden." So Dianne Feinstein has made her preference clear. Others are staying neutral for obvious reasons. And you mentioned Californians. We're going to have possibly, I shouldn't say probably, because who knows,
yeah,
possibly at least two others. It looks like Eric Swalwell, who people will say, who? He's a congressman from San Francisco Bay Area. He looks like he's running. He's already made more than a dozen trips to Iowa. And Eric Garcetti, the mayor of Los Angeles, has made a few trips to Iowa, traveled all around the country. He's signaling that he's going to run, but has yet to make a final decision. So after something of a drought, if you will, California could have as many as three candidates running for president.
Well, you anticipated my final question. That is, California, Texas, pray tell, how many states are going to have more than one candidate seeking the Democratic presidential nomination? Pretty incredible.
Yeah, we've got three, and Tom Steyer, the San Francisco hedge fund billionaire, took himself out of the running. We might have had four. Now we're down. We definitely have one. We could have three.
Well, on one side, though, the candidate doesn't have to worry about carrying California. That's a given.
Well, yes and no. We'll have to see how they do. It's very interesting because, you know, there's this supposition that California will vote for the home state candidate. They will if they're viable. We've seen a few candidates run before. We saw Jerry Brown ran against Bill Clinton in 1992. Bill Clinton wiped Jerry Brown out in that election.
No, I meant more in the general election.
I'm sorry. Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Listen, I think if you run as a Democrat, if I ran as a Democrat, if Fred Flintstone ran as a Democrat, he would carry California. Really tough to see how a Republican does. Yeah, but when it comes to the primary, Kamala Harris, like everyone else, is going to have to show in Iowa, in New Hampshire, in South Carolina, and Nevada, what they can do before they get to California.
Yes, sir. Okay, Mark Baraback, LA Times national political correspondent. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Al.
Great talking to you. Thanks. Here on Delaware.